Romans chapter 14 this morning. Let's go ahead and pray and ask God's blessing on our time together. Lord God, I am reminded in my reading this morning that when Isaiah came face to face with you, he didn't say, Lord, I'm not quite what I need to be. He didn't say, Lord, I've got some work to do. And he certainly didn't say, Lord, I'm pretty good. Oh, but when he came face to face with you, he said, woe is me, for I am undone. And Lord, as I have spent, I can't look you in the face, Lord, but I can see you in your word. And as I've looked to your word even today, woe is me, for I am undone. And if I am anything at all, it is because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I approach your pulpit with joy, with gratitude, with a sense of purpose, but I also approach it with fear, because there is nothing more important that we handle in our lives than your word. So Lord, would you forgive me in all the ways that I fail you, and use me today, and speak to hearts, we pray, and may Christ be lifted up in all of it. For it's in his name we ask these things. Amen. We read our passage in Romans chapter 14, and we focused on verse number 12 that said, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Earlier in the passage, beginning in verse number 5, Paul's talking about people that esteem one day above another and so forth. You know, there's some people, Christians, bought by the blood believers going to heaven, that don't recognize, celebrate, participate in Christmas. Did you know that? It's okay. The Bible doesn't command that they do so. On the other side of that, it's not wrong to do so either. That's what Paul's saying. You know, particularly as it relates to Jews, if you want to maintain some of the feast, if it just draws you spiritually to what Christ did for you by maintaining the Passover, that's fine. Just make sure you keep it in its proper perspective. And Paul's giving a wonderful principle here that, once again, not everybody has to do everything the same way. Not everything's cookie cutter, you know. And we approach Christmas in different people. Different people, you know, approach it in different ways. You know, for instance, apparently at the Christmas parade downtown, somebody was out there hollering. He said he was preaching that people are going to hell because they believe in Santa Claus. Well, there's plenty of people going to hell, but whether or not they believe in Santa Claus doesn't have a thing in the world to do with it. That's stupid. By the way, I wish people quit being like that. Make Christians look like idiots. And can I just tell you, if you go and take your kids to take their picture with Santa Claus, you don't need to hide that on Facebook. I'm not coming after you. That's between you and God, you know? The only issue I have with it is I don't like giving him all that credit. Spend my hard-earned money for presents and then say somebody brought them to him. No, your parents got them for you. Give him all that credit. It's interesting. Benjamin Franklin, who I don't believe was a saved man, I'm sorry to say, but he sure did say a lot of things that helped save people. If you ever get a chance to read his epitaph on his tombstone, it's quite moving. He said this. He said, how many observe Christ's birthday, but how few his precepts? Oh, 'tis easier to keep holidays than commandments. See. As we approach Christmas, Man, we're all for all the trappings of it and all of that. But the reality of it is, do we really keep it as it relates to the commandments of the one that it's all about? In the past, I preached a message called The Three Great Dangers of Observing Christmas. I'm going to give that to you. Well, there's the title. I'll come back to that. But there's three great dangers regarding Christmas. Number one is when it gets out of order. No facet of Christmas is more important than Christ. Oh, well, Andy, I think that Christmas is all about the giving spirit. I'm all for giving spirit, but that's not what it's about. It's all about goodwill. I'm all for goodwill. That's not what it's about. It's all about doing good to your fellow man. I'm all about doing good to my fellow man, but that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about God sending His only begotten Son to this earth, born of a virgin, that He might eventually go to a cross and die for our sins, be buried, and on the third day rose again. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. So we got to be careful that we don't get it out of order. Number two, we need to be careful that we don't get it out of balance. I'm guilty of this. Did you know that all the events of Christ's life are important and worthy of our consideration, not just Christmas? Let's be honest. We put a lot more effort into preparing for Christmas than we do Easter. Christmas doesn't mean a thing if Jesus doesn't resurrect from that grave. We need to be careful that we don't get it out of balance. And this, I think, maybe is the easiest one to do. We don't want to be out of order and we don't want to be out of balance, but finally, we don't want to be Christmas to be out of habit. Live life on purpose. Know why you do what you do. And so back to verse number 12 again. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. This is true on two fronts. If you're saved today, one day you will stand before what's called the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you will not answer for your sins. Your sins have been paid for and forgiven. Thank God. But you will answer for what you did for Christ, why you did it, and whether or not you'll be rewarded for it. But if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, you won't stand before the judgment seat. You'll stand before what the Bible calls a white throne. The charges will be read, and the verdict pronounced. Guilty. Now, at some point in this exchange, you will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. The Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. But by then it'll be too late. And you'll be cast into a lake of fire. Friend, whether or not you're going to heaven has nothing to do with what you do with Santa Claus. It has nothing to do with your chosen denomination. It has nothing to do with being a Baptist or being in the baptistry waters. It has everything to do with whether or not you've applied the finished work of Jesus Christ to your sinful soul. My sinful soul, yep. You have one just like I do. And we're made of the same stuff. And that sin, that wicked, vile sin separates us from God. It disqualifies us from heaven. It dooms us to hell. That is true of every man, woman, and child, with the exception of Jesus. Friend, I'm asking, if you've never been saved, would you trust Jesus Christ and His finished work today before it's too late? Because one day you'll give an account of yourself to God. Christian, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean that I don't fear the judgment seat. I don't fear it as it regards to hell. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be ashamed. Well, Andy, there's no tears in heaven. That's not what the Bible says. I might do a whole series on stuff the Bible doesn't say. It's at least 7 years in that every tear is wiped away. But I'm telling you, when I see Jesus as he is, and all the missed opportunities that I could have glorified him and served him, and all the stupid, silly things that I put ahead of him, I will weep. So will you. Every man shall give an account of himself to God. As we approach Christmas, I'm going to go back here. We got three important questions. Three important questions that we need to ask ourselves as it relates to Christmas. All right? Question number one, how often have I thought of Christ? Have you ever approached this season and it was gone before you knew it came? Something that I've endeavored to do in the time I've been here is each year I try to schedule things earlier and earlier in the month of December so that we have as much time as possible to ease into the Christmas day. Because I don't know about you, what happens with me is, man, we're busy and we're running everywhere and we're doing this and everything else. The next thing I know, Christmas is gone. Well, Andy, you've got the Christmas season. No, come December 26th, I'm done. I want to take the tree down because I have a bad case of day after Christmas blues. You know, I don't like the day after Christmas. I build up to that moment, and then when it's gone, I'm sad. Are you like that with things? You know, I built up to the ACC championship. I'm doubly sad today because it's over. And apparently it was over before it started. But you know what? And I've got to be careful about this. I can get so busy preparing for Christmas that I don't spend a whole lot of time actually thinking about Christ. I'll tell you a secret. As a pastor, I can be so busy in ministry that I don't spend enough time thinking about Christ. I can be so busy as a parent that I don't spend enough time thinking about Christ. Here's what it comes down to, y'all. Either he's preeminent in our lives or he's not. Either he's number one or he's not. You remember when they were sitting there by the seaside after Jesus had rose again in John 21? So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? There's great debates over what these are. Some think that he's asking him, Simon, do you love me more than these fish? And the business of catching them. Do you love me more than you love these other disciples? Do you love me more than these other disciples love me? The truth is, grammatically, it could be any of them. And I think that's on purpose. I think it's all applicable. Here's what Jesus was trying to get across. Hey, Simon, do you love me more than anything? We have here on our pulpit Colossians 1:18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The word preeminence simply means first place. Now, that seems so elementary. Well, of course Jesus has to have first place in my life. And yet, if we are honest, many times he does not. I mean, I'm guilty of it, and we all are to some degree. What can get ahead of Jesus? Our spouse? Our kids? Our grandkids? Our jobs? Money? Things? It can all get in front of us. It sure can. And that's the question we've got to ask ourselves as we get into Christmas. In all of this, in all of the caroling, and all of the presents, and all the lights, and all the tinsel, and all the everything, how often in the midst of this season have I taken time to just think about Christ? Second question. A question regarding the Christmas season. Do I serve as fervently as I shop? Here we go. You could expand that idea of shop to any kind of preparation for the Christmas season. Do I serve as fervently as I shop? Many of you are like my wife. You love Black Friday. I do not. I found Black Friday has found its way into Thursday. Before long, it's going to start on Wednesday. It's crazy. But I'm not against it enough that I don't give her a list when she goes out. Especially if somebody's selling bullets cheap. But here's how my wife does it, and I'm not using her as an illustration because she does anything wrong, but this is how she does it. As soon as these stores start advertising their specials, she begins planning and plotting, strategizing. I have many, many Thanksgivings that her and my sister had sales sheets all over the floor. You hit this one. And I'll hit this one. And we'll meet in the middle. And every once in a while, I get a phone call, in case you hear anything, I had to hit somebody to get to. No, it didn't happen. She's early at it. See, I can't go. My job is to stay home with the kids. And I'm good with that. I can't go because I'm going to tell you, first time somebody pushes me out of the way to get some power cable, somebody going down. She's early at it. We just finished eating. All right, got to go. What? It's Black Friday. No, it's not. It's Thursday. She didn't go as far as some of these people do, but she's early at it. And she formulates a plan, and she won't be denied. Well, what would happen if that was our approach to serving God? If we were early at it and we sat down and figured out, what's the best way for me to get enough done for Christ today that I can bring honor and glory to Him? Let me tell you something, I'm not going to be denied either. I knew a pastor growing up, and it was a thing of beauty to go on door to door with him. Can I be candid with you? I'm not good at a lot of things when it comes to ministry, but I'm probably the worst at door-to-door. I'm not very good at it. So you say, I don't really want to go do door-to-door because I'm not very good at it. Well, I'm not either. But he was good at it. And if we were doing door-to-door and somebody was out walking their dog, we'd say, that guy's good as saved. Because he just had a gift. And he could walk up to somebody and, hey, man, just disarming. How you doing, friend? You doing all right? Good to see you, man. That's a beautiful dog. And he'd just get that guy to talking. Before long, that guy's got his head bowed and he's trusting Christ as his Savior. I was amazed at his ability. Now, he also had the power of the Holy Ghost on him, too, because that man walked with God. See, me, I walk up to somebody and they're like, you know, they try and get away from me because I'm creepy or something. I don't know what it is. But if we're honest, sometimes when we serve God, we'll put forth a little bit of effort, and then if nothing happens, oh, well, I tried. Man, what if we served Him like we shop? What if we put the same amount of fervor into decorating our lives for Him that we do decorating our homes? Because why do we decorate our homes? We want people to see the beauty of the season. Should we not decorate our lives so people see the beauty of our Savior? Do I serve as fervently as I shop? I got to ask that question. Here's the third question, and we're done. Regarding Christmas, how often have I thought of Christ? Do I serve as fervently as I shop? And then finally, what did I get Him? Right now, I guarantee you, my wife has already got me about 20 things for Christmas. We have the same conversation every year. Don't spend too much. Don't get too much. But all year long, she finds a shirt on clearance, a flashlight, because you can't have too many flashlights, pocket knife, multi-tool, you know, stuff like that. And she spent the whole year collecting that stuff. And so I wrap her presents, and I put her 3 or 4 presents under the tree. And then Christmas Eve, she dumps about 20 under there and makes me feel bad. But what would it be like if I woke up Christmas morning, I'm like, I didn't get her anything? Well, first of all, I'm in trouble. But how many of us let Christmas come and go and we didn't get Jesus a thing? Well, what's He want? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What should I give Jesus for Christmas? Whatever you don't want Him to have. What's something in your life you don't want to give God? That's what you give Him. You start out by giving Him all of you, but one of the ways that you do that is you give God what you don't want to. I've had times in my life, one in particular as a young man, God said, I want that relationship. Then that's what I give Him. I want that job. Then that's what I give Him. I want that pastime that you shouldn't be doing. Then that's what you give Him. Because whatever you have in your life that you don't want to give to God, that's an idol. Claire's 8. Asher, 1.5 years. She is 8, right? Yeah. What if Claire comes to me one day and says, Dad, I believe God wants me to go to somewhere across the world. I got to give her to Him. And by the way, if you've ever dedicated your child, that's what you've done, if you meant it. If my son says, "Dad, I believe God's called me to pastor this church, the other corner of the country." I got to give him to him. What do you have in your life that if you're honest, you don't want God to have? And that's what he gets. Christmas. I got to ask myself some questions. I've got to make sure that I'm right on some things. I've got to make sure that I'm thinking on him, that he has preeminence in my life. I've got to make sure that I serve him as fervently as I shop. And I got to make sure that I get him whatever he wants. Now, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, I know exactly what you give him today. You give him that heart. You take that wicked, sin-cursed heart and you give it to Jesus, and he'll wash it as white as snow. And you'll have a home in heaven, and you'll have the fruit of his Spirit, and his Holy Spirit will take up residence in you. Life won't be easy, but it'll be worth the living. And he'll walk with you every step of the way. I plead with you to be saved today. And Christian, give him what he wants and have the best Christmas you've ever had.